At a time when the recording industry has brought lawsuits against thousands of people for trading music online, and CDs are sold with copy protection and digital watermarks to prevent pirating, it seems unusual that a group of musicians would allow a CD of free music to be released. But Wired magazine is doing essentially that. The latest issue of the magazine comes with a music CD that invites the listener to rip, sample, mash, or share the tracks. In other words, feel free to take the songs from the Beastie Boys, David Byrne, Chuck D, and others, and trade them online, remix them, sample them for your own use in your creations, and in some cases, you could even make money off your new composition, all completely legal. We want to hear from you on this issue. Do you think that this idea could resolve industry and consumer issues over copyrights? If there wasn't copyright issues on CDs, what would you do with the music? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also email us, TOTN, at npr.org. Joining us now is Chris Anderson, editor-in-chief of Wired Magazine. He's with us from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco, and good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks, Neil. Glad to be here.
So why did you do this?
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that really fascinates us is the impact of technology on culture. And the music industry and music itself is one of the best examples of this. And you've seen a case where basically technology allows us to, as you say, rip, sample, mash, and share, but the law hasn't really kept up. And so the kind of relationship, the natural relationship, which is evolving between the artists and their fans, is restricted by a relatively inflexible law.
And so, as I understand it, the model you're looking at, the one we've always seen in music, is all rights reserved, and your model is some rights reserved.
Exactly. Well, I should say this is Larry Lessig's model at Creative Commons. The notion is not that there's anything wrong with copyright, but that copyright's not right for everyone, and that we need what we need is options, different choices, middle grounds that are right for other people. And what Larry has done with Creative Commons is basically create something that has the legal, you know, the language and has been sort of tested and thought through in the same way the copyright law is, that artists can choose to apply to their music and feel relatively confident that the rights that they want to give to their fans are both legal and clear.
And this means that on this CD, none of the songs are copyright?
Well, this is interesting. This is basically, so copyright is kind of a default that happens. And what you can do is you can sort of renounce some of your rights under copyright by explicitly licensing them under Creative Commons. So what this says is you know, copyright would give me certain protections. And in each of these artists has chosen certain protections to give up. For example, the right, they allow their fans to trade the music on peer-to-peer networks like Kazaa. They allow people to sample. Some of them allow people to even sell the consequences of those samples.
And these are some pretty big groups that are involved here. David Byrne, the Beastie Boys. But as I understand it, it was not always easy to get musicians to go along with this.
Well, it was kind of a fascinating experience. We learned so much about the music industry and some of the reasons why it hasn't moved more quickly as we did this project, which took almost a year. What was interesting is that as we approached the artists, a lot of them just got it instinctively. I mean, they want to have a closer relationship with their fans. They think that file trading is often, you know, good marketing. They think that sampling is an homage. So they see the upside. What was interesting is that as we approached their managers and their labels, and more particularly the labels' lawyers, they could see downsides, they could see risks, they could see a lot of trouble and work that would go into acquiring the rights. And, some artists and some labels got it right up front. Le Tigre was a perfect example. David Byrne was the first to come on board, totally got it. And others just never did. Some people like Coldplay and David Bowie, who respected, just didn't say yes. And others needed some examples, needed to know a little bit more about it before they came on board.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a caller on the line. Lee is with us from Waco, Texas.
Hi.
Hi, Lee.
I work with electronic music an awful lot. I play under the name LO2. And I'm a big fan of a lot of different types of music, and one of the big things I do is I tend to remix songs, and there's nothing I can really do with them other than put them online. And it's a great thing. I'm really, really very excited about the Wired CD just because I've remixed Beastie Boys stuff before, but technically I'm not doing it in a legal fashion, despite the fact that, you know, several thousand people sometimes download them and enjoy them. I have no outlet and no acceptable way of taking work that I like and turning it into something new. And to me, this is very exciting, and I just wanted to let them know that I think it's a great first step.
And Chris Anderson, besides the compliment, which I'm sure you're happy to receive, but one of the points you're trying to make is that people are doing this stuff already, as Lee says he's doing in Waco, Texas. You got to find a way to make it legal.
Exactly. Well, what we're hoping to do with this is by sort of taking this idea and reducing it to practice with big names putting their endorsement behind it, we will both encourage labels to recognize that it is valid and a good potentially marketing method, but also encourage more artists to try this on their own. And what you're seeing right now is a real limit, real abandonment, a kind of an end of scarcity of distribution. Right now there are any number of ways to get your music out there. You can put them on the file trading networks. You can have MP3 blogs, which are a fascinating way of kind of word of mouth. And so, basically distribution is becoming less of a problem. And what remains a problem right now is the rights. And what we're hoping to do is kind of break that logjam and make it easier for people to do this, not just technically, but also legally.
Lee, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's talk now with Blake. And Blake is calling from Ashland, Oregon.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the guests could maybe comment on why there's such this furor nowadays in the recording industry about the innocent sharing of music when it's, it was going on during, the cassette and LP age. So I just wondered what he thought about that. And also, I think Bowie once was quoted as saying that copyrights of music are actually an obsolete thing, and I wonder what he thought about that as well. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, thanks for the call, Blake.
Thanks.
Well, let me address the copyright thing first. I don't think copyright is obsolete. I just think the copyright is inflexible and as it's currently written, not for everyone. I think we need alternatives to kind of the statutory copyright. And that's what we're offering here. As for what's different about digital music, it is really that A, it's digital, so the copies are perfect reproductions, and B, because we now have the internet and in all its manifestations, you can now get a song out to millions of people almost instantaneously. And so the downside from the label perspective is that if the next Eminem single gets out before it hits the record stores, that it could saturate lots of demand simply by being pirated to literally millions of people in a way that cassette tapes could never have been done as quickly before.
Mm-hmm. One of the tracks on the Wired CD is Fake French from the band Le Tigre. Joining us now by phone from the road in Pittsburgh is Le Tigre member Kathleen Hanna, and it's very good of you to join us today on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What does Le Tigre get out of putting a song out on this CD for free?
Well, I think we like a lot of the other groups, and we like the magazine, and we're kind of interested in what they're trying to do with sampling clearance and stuff, and so we just kind of wanted to be associated.
Was it a difficult decision to sign away certain rights to this song?
No, not really. I mean, we've always kind of given a lot of stuff away for free, and it's kind of nice to be asked.
That's a little unusual, I suspect, yes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times people just sort of, like, take your music and put it in, places that you don't want it, and it's actually nice to be asked and to be able to say yes,
We're talking about the Wired CD with Kathleen Hanna of Le Tigre and with Chris Anderson, the editor-in-chief of Wired magazine. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Kathleen, I wanted to ask you, one song is one thing. Le Tigre has three albums out right now. And before forming that band, you fronted Bikini Kill, who had about 10 releases. Would you be comfortable with all that material under this Creative Commons rule?
No. I mean, I think part of the cool thing that they're trying to do is they're actually want artists to have more power, not less. It's not about, this is from my understanding of what it is about. It's about, like, making it so that I can choose yes or no, but I don't have to have, a whole bunch of really expensive lawyers involved if I want to say yes. And that's actually been a problem for us, and being on indie labels for a long time and sometimes not having management, and people would ask us, can I use this or can I use that? And sometimes we would just have to say no because hiring a lawyer to write up the contract was just going to be too expensive.
Hmm.
You know, but I definitely don't want, I don't want to just be like, oh yeah, everything's for free. Anybody can use it.
Because that's how you make your living.
Exactly.
Obviously, also by being on this CD that's put out by Wired Magazine and, well, Chris Anderson, how many people are going to get this free copy of this CD?
We're making about 800,000.
So you're going to get a little publicity out of this.
Yeah, it's great because our record is coming out.
Let's get another caller on the line. Michael is with us from San Francisco.
Yeah, excellent, excellent show. I was just going to ask the editor about their experience with the record label to find out if they think that the record label are going to be receptive to this, or do they see the opportunity in this at all as a publicity tools for them in the future?
Chris Anderson?
Well, as I say, some are and some aren't. You know, interestingly, La Tigre's label was one of the most receptive. I think it's Strummer Recordings, part of Universal. And, you know, I think that people who – well, two things. A, I think a lot of artists, and presumably they are talking to their labels, do see letting certain songs out as a good way of viral marketing, word of mouth, what have you. Secondly, because Creative Commons has largely kind of done a lot of the heavy lifting on the legal side, and you can go to creativecommons.org, and there it is. There's the boilerplate which you can attach to your own work of any sort, not just music, film, written, etc. Because it has been done, and has been done by Larry Lessig, who's a Stanford law professor and has a certain credibility, I think that should encourage the labels to take this path without too much fear of it blowing up on them.
Kathleen Hanna, do you think that they might do that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm really actually interested to find out what labels start doing in terms of mashups that are available on the internet, you know, where people take two different songs and kind of merge them together. And it's like a really popular thing right now that people are downloading. And
like the Gray album, yeah.
What?
Like the Gray album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm really interested to see when labels start figuring out a way to capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, though, Michael, by the way, thanks very much for the phone call. I wonder, Kathleen, if you a snippet from a Fake French ended up in a song that was suddenly in the top 20, would you be sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, there goes the opportunity"?
No. I mean, we knew what we were getting into when we did it, and I think it would be cool, and more people would find out about our band if that happened.
And as you said, Chris Anderson, a lot of people consider sampling and that sort of thing as homage and I guess publicity, as long as they acknowledge where it came from.
Exactly. I mean, basically, you have sort of two groups of artists. You have those at the very, very top who are very fiercely protective of their content. They have huge marketing budgets and a lot of label weight behind them. And then you have the vast middle of artists who are great and actually would benefit from having larger markets, larger audiences. More people should find out about them. And they're the ones who really can sort of take word of mouth, you know, amplified through the power of the internet, and find more customers, more fans, and I think it's a net benefit for them.
Mm-hmm. And as I wonder, Kathleen, in a way, musicians, and you make this point in Wired Magazine, Chris Anderson, they're always borrowing something from everybody else to make the music in the first place.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the Sex Pistols, you know, borrowed from the New York Dolls, and, you know, and James Brown borrowed from Chuck Berry. And, you know, it's not theft. It is inspiration. It is homage. It's all these things. And, you know, increasingly the tools that, you know, that come with a Macintosh or Windows, you know, machine today make it easy. And so I think what you're seeing is that more and more people can do it. It's technically not just possible, but easy. And now you see more and more examples of how fun it can be. You're starting to see this outburst of creativity, which is really creating more music.
Chris Anderson, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Chris Anderson, editor-in-chief of Wired Magazine, joined us from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. And Kathleen Hanna, thanks for taking time out on the road to call in.
Yeah, thanks.
Kathleen Hanna is a member of the band Le Tigre. One of their songs, Fake French, is on the Wired CD. And here's another one of their offerings on the CD, this from a group called Dandy Automator in Washington. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.